to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and nothing I'm going to say up front at the top of this episode is going to compare to the fact that we have freaking AJ Wolf on this episode. Now, AJ's a dear friend, but like, still, hearing AJ's voice, even as a friend, in person, over the phone, on a Zoom to record this episode, it's still like, oh my God, it's AJ. Oh my God, it's the legend, the Disney food blog legend, that voice. It is iconic, and I'm just so excited about it. Now, separate from everything we're gonna get into on this episode, I do wanna let you know that in a few weeks, we will be doing something new, and that is that we will be doing an episode about Royal Caribbean. And I guess that's not new because we did one a minute ago, it's like a year and a half, about Royal Railway Utopia Station, which was one of their themed restaurants on board. But I never got to go on that ship. It was a conflict with a trip I had to New York. I couldn't do it. Oh, that was when Noah Kahan was playing Madison Square Garden and James Bay was opening, both of which are acts of my husband that he signed many, many years ago and still works with. And so it was like, this is like my husband's night in Madison Square Garden. I can't leave to go on a new cruise ship. But they have a sister ship to that one, the Star of the Seas, which is coming out, and I'm going to be on the inaugural sailing. I can't wait. I'm very, very excited to see what they offer. It is different than Disney Cruise Line, and I think there are a lot of very cool things that I can't wait to experience and report back about. So stay tuned for that. That is coming up in a few weeks. I can't keep a secret. I had to tell you about it. This week, though, obviously, we're talking Disney adults with published author AJ Wolf. Stick around. There's so much fun ahead. There's truly so much fun ahead. I can't wait to say even more. Stay tuned for some deals from our friends over at Mouseman Travel, and I'll see you on the other side. And now a quick chat about current Disney discounts and promotions with our travel agent partner, Becky Menken of Mouse Fan Travel. Hi, Becky.
Hi, Carly. It's so good to hear from you again.
I know. I feel like we're pen pals. We're like business pen pals. It's so good to see you, though.
It's good to see you, too. It's been a whirlwind for me, though, as you probably know. I just did an Adventures by Disney to Japan.
Oh, my gosh.
Amazing. And it's my second time on that itinerary. It was so great. And then I hopped over to Europe, believe it or not, and I escorted a group cruise with Royal Caribbean, which included like Copenhagen and Rotterdam. It was just amazing. And I'm not sure what time zone I'm in or exactly what day it is right now, but I do know in a few days I leave for another Adventures by Disney to Southern California. I'm going to go and do one that hits Disney Studios and Imagineering and, of course, Disneyland. So I'm so excited about that.
I've done that one and it's awesome.
It's amazing. And going to Imagineering, are you kidding? Going shopping in Imagineering at Mickey's of Glendale? That's totally on it. But speaking of Adventures by Disney, did you know that right now they do have a really cool offer for select 2026 and 2027 land adventures? If you book by July 31st, they're doing two promos. You can save up to $500 per person on international land adventures like Italy or Japan. Ooh. Or Ireland, Iceland, London, all of the international destinations, or save up to $400 per person on select North and Central America land like Costa Rica and Wyoming. So a lot of opportunity. If you've done the theme parks a lot, there's another place where you can enjoy the Disney flair that we love and the service and the adventure. So Adventures by Disney's got a great opportunity for you. But if you are really wanting like one of those tropical beverages with an umbrella in it, Alani's got your...
Ooh, okay, tell me what's going on in Alani, because I've had the Alani itch lately and I kind of want to know what the deal is.
All I think about with Alani is that Lazy River, a drink in the Lazy River. But right now, if you travel from October 20th to December 23rd, you can save up to 30% on stays of 5 or more consecutive nights, or 25% on stays of 4 consecutive nights.
Whoa.
That's a lot of money, if you're especially at that saving 30% off. So there's a lot of deals to be had there if you can go from that October to December timeframe.
And a ton of holiday breaks in there. Like you got Thanksgiving, you got some schools have fall break. Even if you do what I do, which is that you travel on the, like a little before the holidays, because what else is going on? No one's doing anything at work the week before.
You're just like, all you're doing is you're shopping online to make sure you get all of those extra gifts, right?
Yeah, and you can do that while looking at the lazy river.
Exactly.
Thanks so much, Peggy. I can't wait to hear the rest.
Amber's drawings might be.
You have to promise not to freak out.
You're not an evil person just because you drew pictures.
Amber drew that?
What in the?
Sketch. In theaters August 6th. Get your tickets now at angel.com/sketch.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
We got AJ Wolf on the podcast. I think that's really all you need to know because I have recorded this intro so many times because it is very hard to put into words how much you appreciate and respect and are impressed by a friend and colleague of yours while also saying, oh my gosh, this is not the book I thought she was going to write. I thought she was going to write a book about food, and this is not. Disney Adults Exploring and Falling in Love with the Magical Subculture is AJ's new book. Comes out in a couple of days, and I gotta tell you, it pretty much blew me away. And it shouldn't have, because I know, as someone who is a member of the media, how much work AJ puts into Disney Food Blog and All Ears. AJ will not publish or co-sign anything that cannot be backed up. That's why, if Disney Food Blog says a menu item has changed or something is amiss with the mac and cheese, it's true because she has looked through it. She's basically my Disney newspaper, and I adore her for that. And of course, she took that same energy and dedicated it towards covering a very challenging topic, which is Disney adults. Disney adults is such a maligned term, both among friends and foes. We all have a lot of feelings about it. And she chose to dive headfirst right in. In this book, she covers every end of the Disney adult spectrum, all of the culture and anthropology and fandom and psychology and human behavior that really just summarizes the Disney fan experience. She tackles it from all sides, good and bad, and it's absolutely phenomenal. There are even these parts of the book where I learned things about a friend of mine, a friend. I have been friends with AJ ever since I went to a media event at Disney California Adventure, and I heard her iconic voice behind me, and I turned around and went, oh, it's you. We have been friends since then, and I still learned things about her in this book and resonated with things that I learned that I had never heard about her before. There is so much to discuss, so much in this episode that I don't want to keep you from it, but I just want to stress, I respect and adore her so much. I am so proud of her for really, listen, really like writing a big book. Like, this took a lot of work. I would have been too lazy. I would have been like, here's a listicle about Mickey waffles. Bing, bang, boom, I am done. But not AJ. AJ puts all of the work in. I adore her. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And I need to get off the mic before I just list a laundry list of every single thing we talked about because you're going to love it. We even talk about plastic cheese. Stay till the end for that. Okay, enjoy. Oh, and congrats to my friend AJ. Can you even believe I'm friends with Disney Food Blog? Like, the iconic voice of Disney food. I'm the luckiest girl in the world. All right, enjoy. Enjoy. You have a famous voice. You know you have a famous voice.
I have a voice that a lot of people listen to go to sleep.
People watch your videos to go to sleep?
Yeah.
Now, is that a compliment? Because they spend every
they
night
mean
with
it
you?
To me. I think they mean it to be a compliment because they're saying my voice is soothing, you know?
Yes.
So I'm going to take it as
yeah,
a,
you're right.
You know,
part
as
of
a
me
compliment.
Was like, someone is working so hard on the edit and this person is not seeing the end of it. But then again, people use the most popular shows of all time to go to sleep to, or like Harry Potter
yes.
movies. So
my goal is to add value. And if adding value means I help you get to sleep, that's done and done, done and dusted.
Okay, I guess I should officially welcome you to the podcast.
Okay.
AJ, welcome to Very Amusing.
Thank you, Carly. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so excited. It's so funny that I was like, big, important work interview and like, just thrilled to hang out with my friend. Thrilled.
Yeah, that's basically it. We haven't been able to talk in a long time. And now we just get like half an hour to chat with each other. It's the best.
I know. For those who, I guess, like, don't have access to my email and my personal life, AJ and I would Zoom all the time during the pandemic, after the pandemic, and then I had a child, which really messed up my ability to be sitting on a computer chatting all the time. So now to be able to be back, it really feels a little retro.
Yeah, it's great.
It's nice.
I'm always happy to be in the same virtual room as you.
Oh my God. It is an honor to know you. I mean, truly, like the voice of a generation, literally and figuratively.
What generation is that? I'm not sure where I fit.
Millennials
right at the
in denial. Well, it is millennials in denial. Yeah.
I know I'm a cusp. I don't think I have a name. I'm 78, so I don't know what that is. It's not X and it's not millennial. It's just in the middle. It's all right.
To me, the category breakdown is really like, if you see a group of teens, do you feel like you might know them or do you fear them? And now that we all are on the side of being like, oh no, what do they know that don't?
I feared a group of teens when I was a teen. So let's just establish that right now. Like, I've never felt comfortable with a group of teens in my life.
They're just too cool. They know too much. They know all the lingo. I just sit back in amazement. Anyway, we are not here to talk about teens. We are here to talk about you because you really did it with this one. You wrote a whole book about Disney adults.
I did. I wrote a whole book and it was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be.
I mean, when you told me ages ago that you were writing a book, this is not the book I thought you were going to do. Like, what compelled you to really jump into shark infested waters with this one?
Simon and Schuster contacted me and they said, hey, we want you to do a book and we think this would be the right one for you to do. And I'm like, okay, well, I am happy to do that. It's a difficult topic, but what was actually a blessing in disguise is that it's not a topic that anybody has ever really talked about before in public. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Everything that's out there about Disney adults is like on Reddit or in some weird dark web situation.
Yes.
Like
the annual takedown piece. Yeah.
Nobody's really established. Right, the annual takedown piece. Mm-hmm. Nobody's really established it as a subculture. You know, in real life, except to make fun of it. And so it's like, okay, great. Well, let's take this opportunity to do that and actually figure out who we are and what, you know, what this group is, what they stand for. Are they good? Are they bad? Pros, cons. And that's kind of what we did with the book, is just sort of look at it, stem to stern, interview a bunch of Disney adults and figure out who is this subculture, who makes this up?
I found the book fascinating, which is, I would say, somewhat unexpected. For people listening to this who are like, I'm a Disney adult or I know Disney adults, I might not need to read this. I found it fascinating because
it is not what you think it's going to be.
No,
it is not what you think it's going to be.
There's so many different topics covered in it. And the chapters are so varied. There's like stories I'd never heard before. Then there's other tidbits. Like the first one that comes to mind is one that you pointed out that like, Mickey Mouse has always been for the adults. Like the amount of Mickey Mouse watches they sold to adults are astronomical when those first debuted with that collaboration. Like so many details of it really informed the idea that for so many of us boils down to that one woman yelling that a millennial got the last Mickey pretzel, which you include in the book because you are so good at this.
Well, I mean, a lot of people, I have to meet people where they are. And most people, when they think of Disney adults, certain things pop up. So we have to at least pay homage to those things. You know, we are stereotypes are there for a reason, man. I will say the book is not at all what I think anybody would expect it to be. They either think it's an apology or they think it's somehow a defense of. It's neither of those things. It is an absolutely journalistic pullback. Like, what the hell is this? And what are we talking about here? It's and you know, we talk about Disney a lot because Disney greatly affects its fans, right? And fans are fans because of what they're following. And then we also talk about things that have nothing to do with Disney and just what community and humanity contribute to your tribe, right? Like, this is, all in all, this is primarily a book about humans, and this is how humans act with each other.
It's fascinating because, again, you run some of the biggest media companies online. If you are looking for anything Disney, people come across your platforms. And yet, I still found it to be profound and maybe even revolutionary that in the book, in text, you say, essentially, I am AJ and I am a Disney adult. And you and I are speaking as people who do this for a job, who love these parks, love these places, speaking to an audience who also loves these places. And yet to say you're a Disney adult feels a little like, whoa, Whoa, that's wild. Like, what do you think, and not to distill the book into a few sentences, but like, why do you think the term Disney adult is so maligned and so icky, even if we clearly are Disney adults?
That is something that I find fascinating, is that anybody who is obviously a Disney adult is not going to own it. Like, you will get so many caveats around that. Like, well, I'm not like that Disney. And it's like, yeah, you are. We're all like that. Like, I promise, like, you have pushed somebody out of the way to get over to the side of Guardians of the Galaxy where that little thing opens. Like, I promise you have. But I guess my goal was just to figure out, you know, let's give this a definition first and foremost. Let's figure out why is it stigmatized? Why is it stereotyped? Because it is, and it is for a reason. And pay homage, like I said, to all of those reasons why, but also go really in depth into who are we really as far as individuals. That's how you get to know any maligned subculture better anyway, is actually talking to the humans that are part of it. But yeah, I mean, I will absolutely say I'm a Disney adult. I've been a Disney adult for, 25 years at this point, because I was, you know, I also say in the book, I was running up my credit cards when I was in my early 20s just to get to Disney. And so that's another thing that I think is important about this book. And I know I'm not completely answering your question, but it's like, it's important to look at your relationship with Disney as a Disney adult as a progression, right? You know, there are going to be times where it is going to absolutely be medicative for you to love Disney and go to Disney. And there are going to be times when it's going to be a fun hobby that you have, but it's not consistent one way or the other, and it's going to ebb and flow. And so there will absolutely be times that you do things that you are shocked that you would do. And you look back and you go, that wasn't good. Like pushing people out of the way to get, you know, in the line first. But that's, again, that's human nature. That's who we are. And it's something else that's interesting about the book is looking at why people hate Disney adults so much versus hating other subcultures that also have negative attributes. You know what I mean? Like, but because it's Disney, it's somehow worse. So that was cool to dive into too.
To go back about one thing you said, like, I knew some of your backstory. I knew that, like, the origin of you being involved in Disney was that this started when you were in New York doing a different job. But I did not realize the extent of it. I did not realize you were staying late at work to print out trip reports. I did not know you went into debt for Disney trips. And it's fascinating to look back on it now and being like, look at what those choices led to. Like, it led to you.
Right. It's almost not fair. Like, it's like I was somehow rewarded for these negative choices I made in my early days. Like, I don't know if that's the best
message. Credit card debt is bad, but
no credit card debt.
Sometimes it is an investment in your future if you're AJ Wolf.
True. It's so like I'm such a completionist and an OCD kind of person that I have to, like, I had to know everything about the parks. I had to know everything. And that is, and luckily I was able to translate in that into something that was valuable to other people. But yeah, it was a bad scene. I was not in a good place.
See, similarly, I have a very similar origin story to you where I was also in New York and there's like the bachelorette party bit where I like showed up at Disney World because I couldn't go anywhere else. I was like, oh, I'm obsessed now. But I also came home, needed to know everything else and like fully dived in. And there's just something, There's something there where like, if you're in a city or in a situation and you go there, it can trigger something that you didn't know was inside of you. Like, I never thought I would be obsessed with Disney, but they just, and you go into this in the book, like, they just offer so much. There's so much joy. Everyone there is friendly. It just can be a really nice antidote to like regular human adult life.
1,000%. And there's also a ton of psychology going on where Disney is actively working to convince your subconscious that it needs to live there. Like, it needs to be in Disney all the time. There's a lot going on there where they are affecting how you feel. And so I think that's another piece of it, is if they happen to grab you at a time in your life when you're really needing that sort of that other, you know, that sort of different space that's different from what you're in right now that you kind of hate or that you're having a hard time with or whatever. Like, it, you know, you absolutely can. And
but also, well,
that's
yeah,
like, tough, though, because I will say also that a lot of people enter into the Disney fandom through family and relationships where they have these very strong memories of positive experiences. So you don't have to be broken to fall in love with Disney. Like, it's okay if you get there another way.
I feel so bad that you're like, it's just me who was broken. It's fine.
I'm sure there's others of us, but it's okay if you just, you know, your grandma took you there and it was cool.
See, I showed up, I feel like I'm a good case study because I showed up with basically no nostalgia. I have a bad memory. I don't remember a lot from my childhood. I know we went, but that was it when I was a little kid. So I showed up as an adult and
I feel so bad for Odd Prop right now. Like,
She only took me twice.
I know, but I know for a fact that she probably made those trips the best possible trips ever. And
My grandma planned them. I love you, Mom. My grandma planned them. So we're fine. Also, my mom, I've taken her on enough Disney trips. I made up for anything I say in perpetuity on the podcast. But like, I showed up not knowing anything about what was happening. And what resonated with me was that I felt like as an adult, like there's nowhere to go. You go to get coffee, you go to get a matcha, or you go out to dinner. Maybe you see a concert or a show, but like, that's it. Like, there's nowhere you can really interact. You can kind of experience in this way that you can at a park. And to show up somewhere where people spent their entire careers developing a space purely so that I have fun, like the thousands of people who have contributed their lives to making sure that we have a good time when we come here, to me, that resonated above anything. Because like, people at a coffee shop aren't doing that. But here at a Disney park, at a Disney cruise, like everyone is working so hard so that I have a good time. And that, in like terms of hospitality and travel, just reigned supreme for me. That's how I became a Disney adult.
Yeah, 1,000%. And like, I was really, this is in the book, but it was really shocking to me to go to Glendale to the Imagineering building, right? Because walking in there and seeing how those people feel about the work that they're doing, like they're so excited and that passion just comes through. And I think that they are honestly, they are more excited about the work that they're doing rather than it being Disney. Like, they don't care that it's Disney. They'll go do this anywhere that anybody gives them money to do this, because they're just excited to explore the next new thing and the next big thing and make it even better. And that energy just overwhelmed me. And I was like, God, they really care. They are actively excited about that so that you can go ride that ride for 4 minutes. And it just, you know, lives rent free in your brain for the rest of your life. It's just so fun. Yeah. It's so cool.
Talk to me about like the push and pull for Disney adults between nostalgia, but also craving something new. We are in like a really small era of closures. We have so many going on. Tom Sawyer Island, all that just happened days ago when we're recording this. Muppets Courtyard, Muppet Vision 3D. Like, we have experienced a lot of closures in the past month or so, let alone the past couple years. But on the other hand, a lot of us Disney adults are always like, what's new? What's next? Where's the new ride? Why don't I have a new ride? Why don't I have a new land? So talk to me from your perspective of that, just that balance between the two and how you have to sacrifice one for the other. But sometimes we don't always want to accept that.
Right. I know. Well, I think that's something that's got to be very, very difficult for Disney to deal with, honestly, is we are it is impossible to please us. End of story.
And that's us too. We're included.
Absolutely. We are never going to be happy with what you do, Disney. End of story. You know this. We know this. Because Disney is so nostalgia driven for a lot of us, we want our Disney that we grew up with, that made us love it in the first place, to stick around forever. We want to always go through those gates and have it be exactly the same as it was when we first went, right? I still want Kitchen Cabaret to be there every time I go to Epcot. But at the same time, like you said, we're always like, what's new? What's next? You guys are just saying blue sky. You're not actually doing anything. And it's like, well, you don't want them to do anything. You literally want the same ride. Like, what? How are they supposed to figure this out? Like, if we were in like a romantic relationship with Disney, it would be toxic. So I don't know how they manage us or how they deal with us. Unfortunately, they're stuck with us, but and it's their own fault. End of story. But
they were too good at building a theme park, and this is what they were.
You can't be that good at it and expect, you know, and not expect hotheads like us.
Yeah.
But I think that the balance has to be that we have to convince ourselves that the balance has to be there. You know, I say in the book, there's a bunch of people who every time Disney makes a change, you know, they're like, Walt would be rolling in his grave. I'm like, Walt was into money. Also, Walt has been dead for 60 years, you guys. Like, I understand that there are some people that are like, what would Walt do? And I know that there are Imagineers still working there. They're like, what would Walt do? To an extent, that's great. Business practices, understood. But when it comes to having to evolve to keep an audience fresh and happy and I guess growing, you have to change things. Things have to be different. And what's going to happen is a whole new set of Disney fans are going to come in, and this is going to be their Disney that they are then going to cry and complain and wail and gnash their teeth over in 10 years when they're going to take that ride out, right? So Disney just has to continue moving on, figuring out based on the real data, which is not social media, what people are loving, where they're spending their money, and what makes sense to make sure they're at the cutting edge of innovation and at what audiences are wanting. So we as fans have to accept and be okay with that things are going to change, things are going to be different. We have to be excited about it either way. But also, if we're in a rebuilding year, we have to be okay with that too. Like, we're all going to complain about the walls. You know, by the way, I have coined the term Wall Disney World, which I think is what I'm going to call it for the next 4 years. But it's going to be Wall Disney World for a really long time, and we're all going to complain about it. You know, and it's just what it is. So, you know, but that is the mark of an invested fandom too. So it's kind of like, well, Disney, you can't, what more could you ask for? Like, you want an invested fandom that this is all we think about, and that's all we care about, and that's all we talk about. We're never going to be happy, but we sure are going to keep coming.
Wow. A perfect phrase. I also feel like, for me, the best case scenario that we saw was the opening of Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind, because that was, you know, people are always up in arms when things change. But when that one opened, they were like, oop, my bad, ride rocks. Like, we're good. Don't worry about it. So
there's a super cool quote from a former Imagineer in my book. And he was just like, I'm like, do you guys worry? You know, do you care about what social media? And he's like, social media influencers want it to be cool. They want it to be a cool ride. They desperately want us to succeed. So, and he literally was like, all we have to do is make it awesome. That's all we have to do. And then they'll be happy. And I'm like, okay.
Like, yeah. Whenever.
How easy.
It's true though. When it's good, we're like, okay, my bad. Like,
that's cool. Yeah.
Which at this point I'm like, I will not critique anything before I see it. Professionally, right. Because I never know what it's going to be, and I can't just cast judgment on, you know, like a little rendering that's very vague in detail. But sometimes they do make it awesome, extremely awesome, and it's what the Walt Disney World we've lived through is worth it.
Well, I'm so proud of myself. But I think something that you said when I was interviewing you for this book, actually, which I'm not allowed, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but I did interview Carly for this book.
Surprise. Surprise.
She's one of my favorite Disney adults.
Surprise. Oh, thank you.
But she was talking about how, you know, we were talking about Star Cruiser. There's a lot about the Star Cruiser in this book, because I think there's a very unique juncture between Disney adults and what Disney did regarding the Star Cruiser. But Carly was basically saying, like, that's one of the first things that you didn't see it at all until you got there. Like, Disney didn't give you any previews. They didn't show what it looked like inside. So the only people you had to go on were the media who were getting in there first. Those were the only, I guess, opinions you had to base your opinions on. And so it ended up being a very weird situation where people hated the concept of it, not just because of the price, but also because I think maybe they had no idea what was in there or what was going on. And they weren't able to own it as a fandom. In a way that wasn't the case for any other ride or any other attraction. So I thought that was really compelling and interesting too. When you mentioned that, I'm just like, I never thought about that. Disney kind of have to show you what's going on for you to be on board with it.
Totally. And thank you for making whatever ramblings I said seem profound. I think also the, you know, the big selling point of Star Wars Galactic Starcruiser was essentially intangible. What they're selling is something you feel internally when you're there. And that's really, really hard to convey. That's really hard to explain, because even if you watch a little video that someone took on their phone, it's just of them in the audience. Like, you don't feel the weight of waking up in that place after two nights and going out in the real world and being like, I am somewhere different. Like, I'm back where I was, but I feel completely different. And it's really hard to explain that.
So many people have experienced immersive theater that it's very, very hard to sell it to you if you haven't experienced it. There's no way to know what that's going to be like, and there's no way to know to put a price tag on that.
Yeah.
So I think that was, I mean, that was a big ask.
Yeah. I also think it should have had a pool. That's also a huge critique of mine. How are you going to tell people it's a cruise? You don't got a pool. You don't got a hot tub. You don't got a space spa. Come on now.
I mean, listen, there was a lot that was wrong, but I, you know, none of us have ever been on a Star Cruiser before, so what do we know? But yeah, no, I think that anyway, we will have another podcast all about Star Cruiser, because we haven't really talked about it, you and I.
No, it just kind of appeared and then it went away. It was so fast.
We haven't really discussed our feelings about it. And I think enough time has passed that we may need to do another podcast where we discuss our feelings about what happened there.
Amber's drawings might be.
You have to promise not to freak out.
You're not an evil person just because you drew pictures.
Amber drew that?
What in the?
Sketch. In theaters August 6th. Get your tickets now at angel.com/sketch.
Okay, something that you revealed in your book, which I did not know about you, and keep in mind, we are real world friends. AJ is currently wearing a hat that I made her for a trip we took to Texas together. It says, I survived the Rainforest Cafe River Ride in Galveston, Texas, because we did.
We did.
Three times.
I was like twice, but I guess it was three.
No, it was three, because we did once, and then we went again, and then we're like, okay, we should do one finale left.
One more time.
And I will say, you were the only one who got wet. I don't know why. I don't know why you were the only one that got wet on that weird ride. I don't know.
Very interesting. I don't know why either.
There was like one animal squirting water and it kept hitting you.
I feel kind of like I was baptized by the river ride.
I was baptized by the Rainforest Cafe ride. Oh my God. And by the way, incredible trip. But all of that is to say, like, look, we've hung out. We are friends. And I learned things about you in this book I didn't know about you. I did not
I'm not very forthcoming with things about me. That isn't surprising.
But like, I know you, and I had no idea you had this closet of Disney souvenirs that you've never spoken about.
I do. It's right there.
It's been in that. Do you know how many times I've seen AJ in this room? It's in that room, and I never knew.
It's right over there. Yeah, it's my shame closet. I call it my shame closet. It's not really a shame closet, although it is kind of a shame closet, but. In the book, actually, I think the first line in the book is about the closet. It's my Monica closet, like from Friends, where she's got that closet where she doesn't organize anything in it. And it's just a bunch of crap that if you open the door, it'll all come out on you. I have my closet full of Disney stuff. I have menus from Disney restaurants from like 2003. You know what I mean? Like, I have a pin from when I went to Ohana for the very first time, and I didn't even know what it was. This was back in like, what, 98? Like, there were like two websites then about Disney. So, you know, I mean, I've got so much stuff. And then I've got, again, like I said, there are things that you buy because you get caught up in the moment. It's opening day of Galaxy's Edge. It's opening day of Toy Story Land. It's, you know, Fantasy Springs.
Oh,
oh my God.
But like you said in the book, Tokyo is exempt from this, from a merchandise policy. Tokyo's exempt. You're going to buy what you buy in Tokyo. But what's like the rarest thing, or what do you think is the most valuable thing in your collection?
Oh my gosh. This is a very good, probably the tiki mugs. Like, I actually added up how much the tiki mugs were worth. And I think we're, you know, pushing like a grand or something, like a lot of money for all the tiki mugs that I have from the all the limited releases of Trader Sam's. And, you know, we have a mutual friend who's a Club 33 member, and she gets me all those tiki mugs and that come out. And so it's like, yeah, I got a lot of those in there, and they're like fragile, fragile, do not touch, you know, I leave this shelf alone.
Yeah.
Kind of. But I don't know. I'm sure I've got other stuff in there that is from, you know, Be Our Guest restaurant opening or whatever, you know, like what, like stuff way back in the earth. I think I was there when this wasn't when I was work. I mean, I started the blog in 2009, but pre that I would still go, you know, to do all of the specialty thing, even though it wasn't media events or whatever. So like opening of like Animal Kingdom Lodge, stuff like that, you know?
I think one of the most fascinating things about the hate towards Disney adults is that, like you mentioned, the tiki mugs. And from my perspective, I'm kind of like, don't y'all understand that we're keeping these parks profitable? Like, we are not, you know, bringing our three young children and packing a Ziploc bag of goldfish and Uncrustables for them. Like, we are coming here and we are dropping adult money. And that right. leads to profitability, which leads to investment in these places we love. Like, we are yeah. part of the reason that you're getting so many new experiences. And I feel like that's often right. left out of the conversation. Like, you shouldn't hate us. You should appreciate that we're here and doing the thing.
I mean, it's so true. And like something that's really compelling, you know, statistic that are really compelling to me is that now you will find adults without children more often in the parks than you'll find adults with children. Right. So you will, you know, the number of Disney adults, the number of people going to these parks without kids is just growing. And, you know, they just gave a whole bunch of prime real estate to an adults only lounge in Epcot. That's insane. That alone has to tell you where they are seeing the dollar signs happening. And it's this group of people that are going to keep going back over and over and over again and are going to want to one up each other by having that experience. Because if they don't, then someone's going to consider them less than, that they didn't do the fireworks thing at DO82 or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it's this, it's just fascinating.
I know.
This book just totally blew my mind. It was so fascinating to me. And then thinking about how Disney's thinking about all this stuff and how Disney adults affect what Disney does, because they do, they have to, even though Disney will never say that they do, of course they do. So just kind of digging into all of that, seeing what's happened online and what's happened as a result at Disney, like, so cool, such cool stuff. I love that anthropological piece of it.
I know. And I love that. I mean, although they haven't admitted it, like we're here and we're loud, so they know. But like, I love that we are being catered to, because there is an end to this. And you talk about it in the book where like we are kind of dragged for going here without kids. A lot of people are like, oh, one of the main arguments is, oh, this is a place for you to bring your children. And again, that is kind of the origin story of Disneyland and of Disney parks, is that this is a place for families to spend time together. But again, I contend that there's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to go. Where am I going to go? To a mall? It's 2025. I'm not going to a shopping mall. Like, there's nowhere to go. And I'm so grateful that we have this place that we can visit and outwardly have fun at and just like feel joy in a very open, public way. Because unless, and not to keep saying, as you say in the book, but like one of the closest comparisons is sport fans, which clearly right. I am not one from the way I phrased that, but people who love to go to sport games, again, I don't know,
sport game.
People who love a football, who love a basketball, it couldn't be me. And yet like there's nowhere, if you aren't in that sphere, there's like nowhere to go and spend time with your friends or your family or just a bunch of people. And so I love that they are recognizing us and building spaces for us within a place that is open to everyone.
I think so, too. I think that's I think we're going to see a lot more of that in the future. I don't know that we're necessarily going to see more thrill rides per se, because I think, you know, adults have shown that they're almost just as happy with, you know, the family friendly rides. But I do think we're going to see more exclusive stuff just for grownups, just for adults, probably going to see some changes to some more restaurants and things like that. So it's an exciting time. But I do not envy Disney. I certainly don't want to be sitting in a boardroom there trying to figure out what the audience wants. It is, I think it's very confusing, especially as the demographic changes. I think the demographic is going to change drastically over the next 10 years. And they're going to be called upon to do even more for adults without kids. So it's going to be interesting.
I can't wait for the sequel. AJ, this has been wonderful. I have some lightning lane questions for you. No pressure. I hope this doesn't stress you out, but
everything stresses me out.
I know. As I said that, I was like, that was a mistake. What is your best tip for someone who's a Disney expert like us? Like someone who goes to the parks all the time. And it doesn't even have to be a tip. Maybe it's a favorite thing that you do when you're there. Like what little nugget of info would you have for someone who is as well-versed in these parks as we are?
You know, that's a very good question. Because if you know the parks this well, you kind of already have your own little MO, right? But I think my thing would be to get to know cast members more. I love talking to cast members and getting to know cast members in certain places, hearing from them when I'm not there, you know, getting little messages from them. And of course, cast members are, a lot of them are transitional, and so they're not going to be there forever, but to keep in touch with them and follow along with where they go next, you know. And it's just been a lot of fun to see through their eyes how they, because I've never been a Disney cast member, so I don't really know what that feels like, but to see through their eyes how they make magic for people and how much that means to them, that enriches my visits significantly. So that's always really fun, is getting to know the bartenders or getting to know the people that work in the Emporium or whatever. So that's been great.
I love that. What is the most secret space at Disney parks that you've ever been to? Is there any like unusual experience you've had at Disney parks by way of your job that is not a standard experience someone would have?
Well, when my only like hard hat walkthrough was when we were at Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. That was something that I thought was truly outstanding, doing a walkthrough of Minnie and Mickey's Runaway Railway before it opened. That was just bonkers to me. Like my brain was exploding the whole time. So
yeah, we walked the entire track of the attraction.
It was so cool. And being in there with the Imagineers who were kind of working on it. Also, I would say, again, I'll reiterate, being in the Imagineering building and seeing where that stuff happens, not even because it's Disney, but because you're surrounded by these people who are so smart and who are doing such cool stuff that they're so proud of. That alone was, I mean, that is what I will take to my grave, is probably my best Disney experience ever, is being able to be in that building. So Imagineers, if you want me to come back, please let me know.
Sign her in. Make it happen. It is. It's an unbelievable place. Those hallowed halls are hallowed for a reason.
They are. I mean, and I think it's one of the most authentic places I've ever been in Disney too, you know? Yeah, I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Describe to me your perfect Disney day.
Oh, sleeping in.
Whoa. Do as I say, not as I do. Starting to sleep.
Not
in.
Waking up until I. Sorry, you said my perfect Disney
No,
day.
I know. It's just so funny because like that would be a dream for me too. But my advice is always like grab a granola bar and run.
Sure. If you've never been. No, for me, because I do try to build in a me day when I'm in Disney for whatever reason, whether it's a media event or I have a bunch of meetings I need to go to or whatever. So I always try to build in a me day because that's the only thing that calms me down enough. But I'm so high anxiety that I have to build in a time to just relax and calm down. And so I build in a me day where I sleep in. I do not set an alarm. And that's also being a mom, that's extra, you know, just extra luxurious because usually when I'm home, I have to get up early, take my kid to school, blah, blah, blah. Do you have your lunch? Blah, blah, blah. So being someplace where I'm all by myself in a room and there's literally nobody else and I can just sleep until I wake up. Like that is amazing. It never happens. So sleep until I wake up. And then it would be amazing if I didn't have any work to do, but I probably do just a little bit, but that's fine. And then I will probably go into a park and that's either going to be Magic Kingdom or Epcot, most likely, ideally one I could walk to. I will probably have already made a reservation for a lunch that I want to go to at like 11 a.m. when nobody else is in there, so I can be all by myself. So some restaurant I haven't been to in a while that I love. And then I probably go to another park, or I go take a nap or take a swim. Like, that's my thing. And then I will swim or nap until dinner, and then I'll have dinner. And then I'll probably go to a park for like after hours. Like, that's my ideal Disney day.
That sounds fantastic. And for me, like, as I spend more time at Walt Disney World Resort specifically, like, just being there is the thing I want. It's not what I ride. It's not everything I jam in. It's just like being there, existing on property is thrilling to me.
Yeah, no, exactly. And that's actually something that I think is the ultimate in Disney adult. I guess if you're scoring things, you know, if you're getting like points, being able to just walk into a park and not feel like you have to do anything and not feel like pressured that you've got to leave soon or whatever. And just almost feel like you live there and, you know, there's no rush. Like, that is the ultimate in Disney adult, you know, like, high score.
Bliss. Absolute bliss.
You just wander around.
I know, just to be, just to exist. What is your favorite underrated Disney restaurant?
These days, you wonder if things are actually underrated anymore because we've talked about them so much on DFB that, you know, like, places like Sanaa and Nomad Lounge aren't underrated. Now they're like really hard to get into. And I say it's because we've talked about them on DFB. I'm sure everybody else is talking about them too because they're so good. But so I will go backwards. I will go back to a restaurant that used to be super popular that now is relatively easy to get into. And I will say Le Cellier. I think Le Cellier is an excellent restaurant.
Whoa!
And I don't think it's that hard to get into anymore. It used to be back in the day, in like 2003, it was impossible to get into. So I'm going to say Le Cellier is an underrated restaurant because it still is excellent, but for some reason it's been taken out of the zeitgeist. So.
Wow. Yeah, you're right. That ebb and flow, I think, has affected them.
Yeah. Yeah. Because when you're super, super popular, everybody's like, forget it. I'm not going in. It's impossible to get into. And then nobody goes.
Is there any like food item or snack or meal that you have to have on every trip? Do you have something you have to do every time you're there?
Not anymore. It used to be that I would have to have Dole Whip. It used to be that I would have to have the Gasparilla Island Grill macaroni and cheese.
Oh, yeah.
Those were kind of must-dos for me. Now I'm my old age. There isn't ever a must-do. I'm happy with whatever I can get.
Yep. You're really, yeah, luxuriating in that. I'm just happy to be here.
Exactly. 1,000%. I will go get a lapu-lapu if I'm in a situation where I can get some Polynesian and like just chill out and be on vacation. Like, lapu-lapu says vacation to me like nothing else. So I'll get a big pineapple drink.
I aspire to be like you because if I don't get caramel corn or Gideon's, it's
are definitely your I understand.
Yeah.
I think it was you that gave me the tip to use a service.
A TaskRabbit? Yeah. I unfortunately invented this, which is embarrassing. That I like whoever thought you could hire a person to be a cookie mule to you at a theme park? Like, that's obviously I was postpartum and that's where it came out of, where I was like, I need my cookies. I'm here for one day. Basically, I flew LA to New York with my whole family, and I was in New York, and I was like, I hadn't been on Tron. I think I had been on Guardians, but I was like, I got to get back. I got to get on a roller coaster. And so I flew. I did that thing where you fly like in the morning and fly back at night before it kind of became a TikTok meme. And I did that, and I was like, but I got to get Gideon's, but I don't have time. So then I hired a TaskRabbit to deliver it to me at Epcot, and it was awesome.
I took your advice and I did that before I took my mom on a cruise. I got like a big old box of Gideon's to bring on the cruise with us, so that we could just pick at them throughout the trip, you know, throughout the cruise.
I actually did like two different churros calls about this on the hotline on the podcast because I advised someone to do that. And then someone called in and was like, they're not going to let you bring the cookies on the cruise. But you were okay to, because you're not, you know, if it's like sometimes food bringing it on is a little dicey. But
I mean, maybe if you're in Europe.
No, because with food, they're like I had to throw out berries recently, but I could bring other food that my kid had.
Maybe I just got lucky, but I had a big old box. It was like it was probably 10 pounds of cookies.
Okay. I mean, I will try this again. I will try this again on a future cruise and see how it goes. Last question. What is your unpopular Disney hot take? Like, what is your one ride or die opinion that you have that, like, you don't care if people bully you over it, but, like, you stand by it?
I'm not very good at things that I don't care if people bully me over. You know this more than anybody. I am so balanced and even keel in, like, every single opinion I have. Everybody hates on Animal Kingdom. They love to hate on Animal Kingdom. Animal Kingdom is incredible. It is the most incredibly imagineered park you have ever been in. End of story, including Tokyo. Animal Kingdom is amazing. There's stuff going on in there that you have never even seen and you won't ever see. And it's still affecting what a great trip you're having. So there's that. I don't know. I'll think of something and I'll text you.
It's okay. I mean, do you feel strongly about anything? Like when you think of your Disney opinion?
Not most things.
See, I'm out here being like, the best snack you can get at Epcot is a cup of beans in Mexico. Like, I just have a lot of strong feelings. So if you're not that way, that's totally fine.
Well, here's what I will say, Carly. And this comes from being, this comes from training, right? This comes from practice and training is our MO at Disney Food Blog is never to tell you that something's good or bad, right? Our MO is to give you all the information you need to decide if it's right or wrong for you. And so that's something that is just like branded on us at Disney Food Blog. Nobody cares about you. Nobody cares about your opinions. They care about how your experiences are somehow going to make their experiences better or worse, right? So that's how we approach everything we do over there. So it's very rare that I'm going to say this restaurant sucks, except for Planet Hollywood, which sucks. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say this is what's good and bad about this restaurant. And depending on what you want to prioritize, just let me know.
That's so funny because I think my MO is the exact opposite. It's like if I don't tell you how good the caramel corn is, I might perish. Like if I don't scream it out loud, I'm going to be ill.
No, I know. And I will scream about certain things. You know, like there are certain things. Everybody knows I love plastic cheese and plastic cheese is my ride or die.
You and me both, sister.
But like, you know, I'm also not going to say, oh, my God, don't ever go to this particular kiosk because it's just balls. Well, no, it's not. It maybe have had a bad day when I was there and they're going to change the menu anyway next week. So I don't want anybody to be like, oh, AJ said never to go there. And then they never do. And then it could be the best meal they have ever had. So I'm giving you all the information so you can make your choices. Except for Planet Hollywood, don't go there.
Okay, then I guess a more appropriate final question for you is, when it comes to plastic cheese, where do you land between peel top and
I am not comfortable with peel top ever.
So I have warmed to it, which I say specifically because when it is served hot, when it is not a solid, it's edible and it's fine. But it is
any port in a storm. Any port in a storm. If you don't have plastic cheese and that is your option, if you're at the movies and that's what you're going to get, fine. That's fine. But if you have the choice, always go with fresh plastic cheese out of the pump.
Out of the pump. It's just, it's hard to find in Disney World sometimes. It's hard.
I know. And you always have to pay a buck for it. There's a cheaper queso blanco in Epcot at La Cantina that I think is 50 cents. But these are all very important niche topics that we should spend some time on in the future.
It's just when they serve that thing and it's not warm and you put your pretzel in it and it just sticks.
It should be illegal. I know. Why do I want a chunk of weird cheese?
It's just paste. Like, it's paste.
Why? And nobody wants that.
Do you have a favorite cheese location?
My favorite cheese location is Backlot Express because there is AC. I don't have to usually fight to find a table. I can go tuck myself away in a corner and spend some alone time with my cheese and my chicken tenders.
And it is a big cup. That's a big cup you're getting there.
It's a big cup. That's probably, but also I will say, and this is not plastic cheese and I don't want anyone to think it's plastic cheese, but if you go over to Cooks of Dublin and you get the vintage Dubliner Irish cheese and bacon dip, that stuff is insane. It's not plastic cheese, but it is melty cheese and it is a dip and it is bonkers delicious. So
I've never had that.
Okay, let's go. Next time here we go.
We'll go to the Lava Lounge, it is phenomenal. Cafe, and then we'll bop over there.
I don't know that I've ever been in the Lava Lounge.
Oh, then we gotta go.
Oh, boy.
I'm just dragging you to Rainforest Cafes all over the world. That's my plan.
If that is what I need to do to be your friend, I'm in. I'm 1,000% in.
I adore you. Thank you so much for coming on, AJ. I'm so excited about your book. I hope everyone reads it. It is truly fantastic. I read the entire thing in one sitting.
Oh my God, Carly.
And it's not like it's like easy to breeze through. I read like 30 pages of it at night and I was like, okay, I have to go to sleep and this is keeping me up. So then the next day I just sat down and was like, boom, and just read the entire, I like couldn't walk away. I was like, I am committed. I have to finish this.
Oh my gosh. I feel like I have to pay you so much money for saying that.
You couldn't pay me enough to say a book was good if I didn't think it was.
That's amazing. Well, thank you for being interviewed for it and for contributing so much to it. And thank you for having me on to talk about it, because this is I've been so looking forward to this.
Me too.
Ever since I wrote the book, I'm like, maybe if I write a book, I could be on Carly's podcast to talk about
please,
it.
Please, please. If you keep that up, you're going to end up being like a co-host. So be careful.
That'd be so awesome. All right, cool. We have about 3 more podcasts already lined up that we need to do. And I'm excited about that.
Perfect. Star Cruiser part 1, 2, and 3. I can't wait. And we're back with Becky.
And of course, I'm not done yet because we've covered the globe. We've covered.
I just picture you spinning like a deals sign.
It's so hard because right now there's so many incredible deals in travel across the board. And these are just a few. So it is hard to pick. But I do want to pull out a couple of ones that have been going on for a while, but they might wrap up at any time. For example, Walt Disney World has been running the Get a Free Dining Plan for kids ages 3 to 9 for arrivals in 2026. I mean, in 2026 for the entire year. It doesn't have a book by date, which means they can pull this offer at any time. So if it's something that you're really interested in, I would say hop on it while you can.
Wow. Free food. That's through the, you could be planning your holiday trip 2026 and get a handle on that promotion.
Exactly.
Wow.
The other one that I want to make sure everyone knows about, because right now Disneyland is celebrating its 70th and we've all seen all the cute merch and all the cute food and all the cute things that Disneyland is also running. They're save up to 20% off if you book by July 31st for travel through August 15th. So there's still a good month and a half for you to go in and enjoy Disneyland, which is going to be all over the place with the new attractions that are opening up in mid-July.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much, Becky. And for anyone wanting to plan a trip, reach out to Mouse Fan Travel. Tell them I sent you. We have the link in the show notes. I keep yapping about it. But they will help you plan your trip. They will make sure that you get the best price possible. I know, because I'm tooling around on that website a ton. And then I talk to my travel agent and all my problems are solved immediately.
And that's what we do. We'll see you soon.
Bye. Thank you.
Hi, Carly. I'm Michelle calling from Washington, D.C., and my sister has 3 kids who she wants to take on their first Disney World trip next year. They'll be 3, 5, and 8. And I'm trying to convince her that we should turn this family trip into a Disney World plus Disney cruise trip, maybe a bit of a longer cruise and only 1 or 2 days in the parks. My mom can't really walk a lot, so it would be hard for her. And maybe a bit selfishly, I haven't been on a cruise in a while, so I'd really love to do that. But my sister thinks that this would be too stressful doing both legs with the kids. She'd rather just stick to the parks. But I kind of have the opposite opinion that the cruise would be better for everybody. I'd love to hear your thoughts. If there's some way I could approach this, or maybe if you think she's right and it's too much to do both things with the family, would love to hear your thoughts. Thanks.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I hope by giving my candid thoughts, I'm not inserting myself in any like family vacation decision drama, but I'm gonna side with you. I am definitely gonna side with you, because when you mentioned that your sister was like, it's gonna be too stressful to do something more than Disney parks, my brain went, no, because as much as I love Disney parks, I think like unilaterally across the board, Disney Cruise Line is inherently a less stressful vacation than Disney parks. Disney parks, there's just so much to schedule and to think about and to plan. Like, are you doing Disney dining plan? If you get like a free meal thing, like, what if you want to eat here and you have to make a reservation? What if you want to do this extra? What if you want to do Lightning Lane? What if you only want to do like a single pass Lightning Lane? Like, if one kid is tall enough to go on Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind and really, really wants to, but the other one wants to go on Remy's Ratatouille Adventure, and the timing and the naps, and someone has to go to the bathroom and someone's hungry. The parks are, again, like a more stressful environment than a cruise ship, because a cruise ship is essentially a hotel knocked on its side. You're in one contained space and it has a lot of the offerings that you're looking for in the park. But I feel like you've already tried to sell your sibling on a lot of this. So I am going to hit a few important key points that if I was giving like a PowerPoint presentation to my family, this is what I would be emphasizing. Now, the first thing I would emphasize is that you're not saying that you don't want to go to the parks. What you're instead saying is that you want to have a more robust Disney vacation. And I think you really want to sell the fact that when you do a Disney World trip, you have to be making so many plans. You have to possibly book ride return times. You have to make dining reservations. There's just a lot of scheduling that needs to happen. And you need to emphasize that a lot of that work doesn't even need to happen on Disney Cruise Line. You can all dine together. You can all spend that time together and like, that just happens automatically. You will automatically just, you want to see a show, you just show up. It's a lot easier. It takes away a lot of like the reservation planning stress. And it'll actually make planning the Disney parks portion of it easier because you'll have less work to do if you are only there for a couple days. The other thing, you really got to emphasize this point, is that Disney Cruise Line will give your sister an opportunity to relax. Your sister has three children. This person needs a break. And with the kids' clubs on the ship, there is something for all three of her children, and especially her three-year-old. Because when you're three, I believe this is true from what I understand, you can go in It's a Small World nursery or in the kids' club. So no matter where that three-year-old is at, like developmentally, which vibe fits them better, they have both of those options available. There is nothing like that in Disney World. There's no babysitting. There's no kids club. Like, you are with your kids the entire time, which is what we love. We love going on vacation with our kids. But even an hour away to lay by a pool by yourself when like you don't have to trade off, someone doesn't have to do work, it's built into the price. It is free. It is part of your reservation. I think that is so essential. And kind of letting her know that she can decompress after you do all the fun stuff you want to do in the parks, there is an opportunity throughout the trip to just decompress and have some solo time and get away on a family vacation. And I think that is huge. Now, transporting kids, carting them around, is tricky. And I know that. I've been dragging Pearl to the park since she was a baby. But let me tell you, there is a bus that will take you from your hotel straight to the cruise terminal. You can take buses directly between the cruise terminal if you're sailing out of Port Canaveral and sailing Disney Cruise Line. You can take a bus from any Disney Resort hotel to the terminal. You can take a bus from the airport to the terminal and vice versa. So if you want to schedule your trip, like you fly in, you go to a Disney hotel for a few days, you go to the parks, and then you go to the cruise, you basically don't have to worry about how you're getting to the airport because you can book this bus to go straight to the cruise and then straight back to the airport. I think the trickiest part of transportation on a Disney vacation now is getting from Disney World, from the park hotels, back and forth to the airport. That's the tricky part. And this, it's booked. You just got to show up. It's easy. The bus is easy. I think especially with three kids, like that's a little easier to navigate than shoving them all in a car. I think that it just makes things a little easier transportation wise. And if moving the kids around is one of the main issues, that's fine. But above all, I would emphasize that, again, you're not trying to take away what your sister wants to do on vacation. You're merely offering an opportunity to have and do it all. And especially for your mom, who you mentioned isn't really walking a lot, I do think this would be a good mix. You can still have the park memories, still do the park thing, have a great time, but also be able to spend time together in a more closed off, contained space where everyone gets a little bit of what they want. And if that still doesn't work, I'm gonna open this up and I'm gonna say, both of you can call me on the Churros hotline. Your sister can tell me her concerns and I will call you back. And I will serve as like a mediation theme park counselor, and I will try to get this done for you because it's very important to me. I know exactly what you're looking for. I think it's the ideal vacation to get parks and cruise in one go, and I really want that for you. So call me back, let me know. Wishing you the best of luck, and I hope it all works out. Like, truly, you're not taking away the parks, you just want to do it all, and so do I, and that's what I'm here for, to help you along that journey. That's our show. Thank you all so much for listening to this very, very special interview with AJ Wolf, a dear friend, an icon, a legend, and truly someone that I admire and respect more than anyone else. You can pick up your own copy of Disney Adults Exploring and Falling in Love with a Magical Subculture August 5th. That's when it drops. I always recommend pre-ordering so you don't have to do anything. It just shows up. If you hear this the day it comes out, like, get at it and it'll arrive. It'll arrive right when it comes out and you're going to want to read it because I, for one, could not put it down. I feel so seen, and I also was wowed by things I read in the book, which I think AJ really nailed it. AJ really nailed it on this one, and I'm just so proud, and I'm so grateful that I got to discuss all of this with you. You can rate, review, and follow Very Amusing on Apple Podcasts, and rate and follow us on Spotify. Also, I forgot, I should say follow Disney Food Blog in all ears, but I feel like if you're in the Disney mix, you know who Disney Food Blog in all ears are. You probably get most of your news from it, as I do as well. They're on the internet. Check them out. Their YouTube videos are fantastic, and so is their social media. You can give us a call any time of day or night at 747-CHURROS. Again, I'd love to answer your questions. And if you are thinking of planning a Disney trip, an Epic Universe trip, a cruise, you just kind of want to like price out what a spring break visit would be next year, reach out to MouseFan Travel. MouseFanTravel.com/amusing for all of your planning needs. It really is wild that like they will do work for you and you have to pay nothing. It feels strange, but the money comes out of the other end. It doesn't come out of your pocket. Disney pays them. So like, it's a free service and we should be talking about it more because travel agents are incredible and they work so hard to make your vacations great. And if you're going on vacation, you might as well do less work planning it and have more fun. And they ain't in that. Mouse Fan Travel, again, love them. They make this podcast happen. They make the group chat happen. And we love them. MouseFanTravel.com/amusing. You know. Also, there's so many deals right now. Oh my Lord. So many deals. I can't even keep track. Just check them out. You know the deal. Follow me at Carly Wiesel for whatever. I don't know what I'm doing on the internet. Sometimes I'm posting about spray tans. Sometimes I'm posting like breaking Disney news. You never know what you're going to get. It's a grab bag. I kind of like it that way. I know everyone on the internet's like, you got to niche down. You got to focus on like the bucket of content that you're doing. And I'm like, nah, man, I am a real person who has varied interests. Sometimes it's the Big Bang Theory. Sometimes it's the TV show Bones. Sometimes it's like the minutia of Disney's contemporary resort. It's all across. It's all a spectrum. It's all a bunch of stuff. And I just try to live my life online as authentically as I do in person. You can join the Family at facebook.com/group/CarlyWiesel. And for 99 cents a month, you can subscribe to my Instagram. Honestly, it's fun. I really like it. It's like a little clubhouse. It's like we all like crawl into a treehouse together and chill. And I love it. There's like a monthly Q&A, which I've been doing a little more lately. It's just a really, really nice. It's a nice place. It feels like I'm group texting everyone all the time. And I love it so much. So if you want to join us, 99 cents a month over on Instagram. This episode was edited subconsciously by Jeff Fox. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hey, honey, it's Mom. I was so lucky to be with you at so many of these fabulous hotels in Florida and Orlando, but I have to agree with you. My favorite, greatest hotel of all time is the Grand Floridian. That one, I have to say, is the greatest. When you were little, I say toddler, 2 or 3 years old, I took you there and you would run around and go into the little Disney store. You loved it there so much. They had a piano player. I love when they do the gingerbread displays. I love when they do the Christmas tree decorations. And I love the food in every restaurant, even the fast snack shop. Love it. It's my favorite anywhere. It just feels so good, the smell. The smell is, as soon as I walk in off the monorail, I'm like, oh, I'm home. I love it so much. It is the greatest place. It is, too, my number one as well. Great job, honey. I love you so much. I love you so much, Pearl. And that was not easy to rate those, I'm sure. Love you. See you soon, baby. Bye.